Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to mini episode number 100 of the FDH Lounge, the program where nothing is off topic. I want to thank once again our good friends at Sportsology, especially my good friend Russ Cohen, for making this platform available to us yet again for a remote discussion with a guest. And we've got a great guest for you here today. First of all, I want to apologize and acknowledge the elephant in the room here. I have some allergy-related throat issues. Fortunately, I feel better than I sound, but I apologize nonetheless for what I'm going to sound like here tonight. No pipes of God coming at you here. Frankly, not that they would be from me anyways, but my mediocre pipes have been reduced to far worse than that. But I want to thank the FDH New York Bureau, Steve Cervello, our senior producer, for setting up this great guest for us here tonight. He is always equal to the challenge of our milestones, both for our 100 the mini episodes of the program, our 152 full-length episodes prior to that, the five anniversaries that we have celebrated for the show. He always comes up big. He's come up big in the past. Bob Barker, Steve Perry, Ken Shamrock, Gilbert Gottfried, Christopher Cross for the five-year anniversary in January. And this name tonight fits right in there. I'm very happy to say that. That is named studio host for Turner Sports. Yeah, you also see him a lot on CBS right now during March Madness. That is going to be our focus here tonight. He's got great broadcasting bloodlines from his father, much like past FDH Lounge guests, Jeremy Schapp, Chip Carey, and Kenny Albert. So the talent runs in the family with him. He is a Sports Emmy winner. He's a resident of the ATL, and an area that I admire greatly. I go down there a couple times a year to see my brother and his family, and it's a tremendous place to be. We admire the man's values. I don't want to stick on that for too long. I don't want to embarrass him on this subject, but essentially with his charity work and everything else that he stands for, we admire that about him as well. Some know him as EJ. Some know him as a man who hears the word terrible a lot in person. We know him as the man that we are honored to bring on with us here for the 100th mini-episode of the FDH Lounge, the one and only Ernie Johnson of Turner Sports. Ernie, welcome to the show tonight, sir. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
It's great to be on, Rick. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, it's funny. I indicated at the outset the reason that my throat sounds as raw as it does, but frankly, Ernie, had it not been for that, had it not been for my allergies, I think it would sound raw anyways because I am a proud Ohio Bobcat. And after this weekend of great action, Ernie, had I had the voice for it, I would have been yelling at the TV. In a wild weekend full of a lot of great upsets, certainly the Bobcats fit into the picture, but you guys saw an awful lot of things that were happening there from your studio monitors, no question.
Oh, man. You talk about four wild days up there in New York for us, too, because Kenny and Charles and I went up there and worked with Greg Anthony and Greg Gumbel. And it was, I mean, it's one thing to watch the tournament. This is the second year we've had a chance to do it now, but it's one thing to watch the tournament at home, and you know, you can kind of relax, and if you want to take a little break, you take a little stroll, you come back, you flip around to different things. When you're in that studio, especially those first 2 days, we are constantly just turning around doing shows. Okay, it's a pregame show on True TV. It's a between-game show on TNT. It's a pregame on TBS. It's a halftime on CBS. Now it's a post game. It was absolutely wall to wall for us, and so a very cool time for all of us to be involved in it. But you know, like an unprecedented Sweet 16 with for the state of Ohio. I mean, no state has ever had four teams in the Sweet 16. So hats off to you.
How about that, Ernie? Yeah, it's that's causing a lot of stir where I live in Northeast Ohio, no question about it, with all of that. And also with the Big Ten playing as prominently as it has been in this. I would have to imagine that That might have caused a fair amount of surprise among the crew, or maybe not. The Big Ten hasn't really loomed large in recent years, but I guess there were signs coming into the tournament that things could be a little bit better for them this year.
Oh, without question. I mean, I think, you know, last year all the talk was about the Big East and all the teams they had in, and I know Charles was outspoken in saying that there were too many teams, but everybody knew that it had been a great year of the Big Ten, and you had a lot of power there, and so it's not a surprise to see those teams, you know, rise up. You know, Michigan State, Indiana's really been a pleasant surprise. Really happy for Tom Crean with what he's been able to do with the Hoosiers. So, I think you're seeing a lot of the heavy hitters you expected to see at this point. Sure, Duke got knocked out. Wasn't their greatest season anyway. I think the one that really got me was Missouri losing, because I think, you know, they had a great year in the Big 12. Offensively, they're one of the best teams out there. But I think they learned a lesson about having to play some defense. And so, we've got some surprises in there, but I think you do have, you know, your share of heavy hitters. And I think when the play resumes on Thursday and Friday on TBS and on CBS, there are going to be some great games. I mean, I can't wait to watch Michigan State and Louisville. I mean, I think that's if you love college basketball and you like guys who can X and O, and you want to see a couple of guys who can you give them 4 days to prepare for a game. That's going to be a great one with Izzo and Rick Pitino.
Oh, absolutely, and that's what they always say about the college game is how large the coaching looms, especially relative to the pros, and that game right there is so emblematic of it. And again, there are some surprises in the tournament as well at this point, and not least of which the aforementioned Ohio Bobcats. And as one of our contributors, Chris Galloway, pointed out to me today, well, I say that, Ernie, because the tendency among a lot of us Bobcats would be to be a little bit thin-skinned and say, hey, nobody believed in us, nobody saw it coming. But as one of our contributors pointed out to me today, it really is an unlikelihood when you look at the classic profile of a mid-major. Not a lot of seniors on our team, not a lot of the kind of experience where you would have seen something like this coming. So,
right,
you know, on top of some of the other huge upsets, that element right there just added some more unlikelihood to the mix as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ohio does, you know, good things defensively. You know, they'll turn you over, and I think if you at this stage, if defensively you can make somebody take them out of their comfort zone, and you stay in a game, then it comes down to who's going to make a play at the end. You saw it in the Michigan game. It was the Bobcats who made the plays late, and now you go against the North Carolina team, and you don't know if Kendall Marshall is going to play. He had the surgery on his wrist today. If he does, I don't know what percent he'll play at, and so you kind of wonder, you know, say this might be a field day for DJ Cooper. You never know. So it's an intriguing matchup, part of me always love seeing somebody who's in the teens. So a 13 seed in the Sweet 16, you can't help but root for them. And the only other thing on that Ohio, having those Ohio teams, four of them, is that somebody's going to get knocked out because Ohio State and Cincinnati got to go head-to-head on Thursday night.
This is
night.
True.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and it goes to the tournament looking for the kind of intrigue in the matchups. It's funny because I know this year there was all the talk about, we're laying it all out 1-68, and yet they still end up with the showbiz matchups here, Kentucky and Indiana in the rematch, Ohio State and Cincinnati renewing the hostilities from the early 60s. So the committee can doth protest all they want, Ernie, but the made-for-TV storylines are shaping up nice for you guys.
Well, you know, and you had one the other day when Creighton was playing against North Carolina, too, and then the high school teammates, you know, facing off. And part of that, I think, is there are just so many stories like that that are out there, Rick, that sometimes you're just going to get them anyway. But sometimes, yeah, I think when they look at it and say, okay, let's see what would happen here in the Sweet 16 if these guys, well, yeah, that's a pretty attractive matchup. Let's go there. So, and you know what? And the fan benefits because it certainly adds to the excitement and the hype and the anticipation leading up to it.
Definitely, and it's got to make it a little bit easier for everybody to prepare for a game, having some hooks they're right there anyways. One of the huge questions here of this tournament, maybe the biggest one, when you look at the rather historic run that they've been on, granted they couldn't put the SEC away in the tournament, but for as loaded as they are talent-wise, and I've heard comparisons to the UNLV teams of just over 20 years ago, do you think anybody can stop Kentucky, Ernie?
I'll let you in on a little secret on mm-hmm. my bracket, which, by the way, looks absolutely horrendous at this point. I highlight my wins with yellow and then I X them out with the Sharpie, and there's more Sharpie than highlighter at this point. But my final four was Kentucky, Louisville, FSU, and Kansas. And I've got Louisville playing Kansas for the title. So, yes, can Kentucky be beaten? Yes, by Louisville in the Final Four. So there you go. You've heard it here first after Louisville beats Michigan State, which is going to be a real slugfest, and then Louisville and Marquette. And then it's Louisville over Kentucky. I can tell by the silence on the line that you are not buying into this, and that you can actually see why there are so many X's on my bracket even as we speak. But that,
Ernie,
you know what? It's asking a lot. I think that the Kentucky team is so loaded, and even when you watch them play and they might fall behind by a little bit, I mean, they explode. I mean, for them, like a 7-8-0 run over a minute 10 is nothing. I mean, these guys, they just are so athletic and so gifted. It just comes down to that whole one-and-done nature of this tournament, though, is, you know, one game if somebody gets in foul trouble or if somebody rolls an ankle or if somebody's just not shooting the ball well or somebody makes a bonehead play, then maybe that's what turns it around. But certainly when you line up against that team, and, you know, Billy Donovan has said it, you know, Billy Donovan's Florida team lost, you know, 6 out of 10 going into the tournament, 3 of those were to Kentucky. And he, you know, he's mm-hmm. like, look, they got 6 first rounders on that team. You know, what are you going to do? So, I think it's going to take an upset for sure. But I do think it's possible. Whether it's Louisville as I have remains to be seen.
Ernie, for the matchup that you're forecasting, merely that matchup alone in the national semifinals, Louisville and Kentucky, that would be an A-bomb going off in the Bluegrass State, regardless of who wins. I can't even imagine what that would be like with those two teams playing for those stakes.
Oh, I know. It would. That would be. Again, it's one of those things too. When you see how the bracket's drawn, and you say, "Let's see who could meet here in this round. Let's see who could meet. Ooh, look who might meet here in the Final Four." But again, it's that would have to take a four seed getting there in Louisville, but. But I like the way Pitino's guys played in the Big East tournament. I love the way they get after you. I love Peyton Siva's game. I think he's just a really intense, talented guy, and they just have a way to me of when Pitino prepares, and if he can keep the game close, then anything can happen.
Well, I think we could go out on a limb and say that would be the later of the two games if that is the national semifinal. No question about
so.
That, Ernie. I don't think I'm going out on a big limb there.
No, this is true.
That would really, really be something. But as far as the process, and you alluded to it a little bit before, as far as what you guys are doing and how you're doing it, you alluded to it being year two of the tournament that you guys, of course, joining in the package with CBS, that CBS had to join with Turner Sports in order to be able to ward off ESPN for the next 15 years or so. So as you said, it's been a real intriguing blend of talent from both networks and really using four different networks in the early going. But you tell me, too.
I mean, it's a change for the viewer. I mean, in your mind, a positive one? I mean, do you like the four networks and that you can, you know, if you want to watch a game, bang, you turn to it. Do you like it, or did you like it better, Ernie, the other way?
I like it this way. I like being able to go back and forth, and I certainly do. I very much enjoyed going back and forth to it, but, you know, I'm just curious in terms of this. When they first broke it down for you guys that last year that Turner Sports was going to be a part of this, What all did that involve? Were you guys doing like production meetings even months in advance to try to get ready because you guys are so focused on the NBA during the season? Or I'm just curious about the process and how you led up to this last year, and then I guess this year as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, it certainly increases the workload without mm-hmm. question. And you see, for me, I mean, I've been at Turner now 22 years. I've been doing that NBA studio for, you know, 21, 22 years. And mm-hmm. I've gotten it down to a point now where I know what my preparation entails. And there are certain steps that I do during the week leading up to when I'm on the air. And it's really all comes second nature. When you throw a monster like March Madness in there, where you are basically, you and your research team are, you know, when the season begins, are just kind of, I'm building files on each team as we go, and they're funneling information to me, and I'm doing some stuff on my own. So by the time March rolls around, you know, I've got files on, you know, probably 125 teams that might, you know, that we've been compiling information on. And then when Selection mm-hmm. Sunday comes, then you're whittling these down and you're centering. And so you're trying to watch games while you're still doing the NBA. You're digging for nuggets on players and learning who they are. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's really a cool thing. And if you're a fan of the game and you've been around it for long enough, to be part of it is just tremendous. And so... you know, year two, it was easier than it was in year one to get ready, just because you kind of had that background of, okay, this is what I did last year to kind of get ready. I'm going to do that again, and then I'm going to ask for a little bit more of this from these research guys. And so by the time the tournament rolls around, you're pretty up to speed. And so it's a lot of work, but there's no heavy lifting required, and it's, you know, you're just basically you're studying basketball players and getting ready for for a sporting event that and I think the great thing about March Madness, you don't have to like sports to love this, you know.
Right.
I've been married for 30 years to a woman who really couldn't care less if the ball is blown up or stuffed. But mm-hmm. she fills out a bracket and is, you know, and she kills, you know, when she's beating me every now and then, you know, or, you know, at some point in the procedure, she says, hey, look, I'm ahead of you in this. And I say, I know, look, I don't know everything. I got Louisville beating Kentucky, for goodness sake. So, you know, it's I think it's just such an all-encompassing event that reaches far beyond sports lines that's why it's really fun to be a part of it.
Well, you're going to look like a real Einstein if that Louisville thing hits, Ernie. You'll be the guy that says, I told you so. I said there would be a team from the Bluegrass State, but not the same team as everybody else. You'd be able to,
exactly,
to say that.
You're exactly right.
Well, you know, it's interesting there because, and again, you say you kind of alluded to this a little bit as far as the regular workload that you've got for the NBA show and everything. And I'm just curious the extent to which it's been a real conscious effort to try to make this as much like that show as possible, because it feels like the same kind of vibe, really, and I would say that as everybody else would in a very positive way, because we've always enjoyed watching you guys cover the NBA in the studio there. Is it really like a conscious kind of an effort? I mean, you got some other pieces, parts that are getting intermingled into there, Greg Anthony and some of the other folks as well. Has it just kind of gone that way because you've been doing it for so long that it's second nature to you to conduct it in that way?
Well, the different part about it now is that when Kenny and Charles and I are together in New York, we're working with the CBS production crew. So they have a way that they do things, that, you know, on a weekly basis with Greg Anthony and Greg Gumbel and Seth Davis. And so they have a kind of a system, and it's up to us to kind of indoctrinate ourselves into the way CBS does things. You know, we don't have Tim Kiley, who's our normal producer, who's, you know, who's the greatest guy I've ever worked with, and he just has such a great feel with kind of a free rein and knows when to pull the reins in and get us moving. The guys in CBS are a little more rigid in terms of the way they do things, so we have to cut back on our kind of free flowing kind of a show. And plus, sometimes you've got four guys in addition to myself who are there, and so you got to get everybody their touches, so you don't have the time to kind of freelance and go on for a few minutes on a topic. So we have to adjust to a degree. And maybe scale it back a little bit, but I just think if it's not about us anyway, it's about the viewer. And if we're not giving the viewer what they want out of this, then we're not doing our job. But I think we've been able to to do that. And I think fans have enjoyed the commentary from you know, Kenny and Charles and Greg Anthony, and we had Steve Lavin over the weekend. And in Atlanta, when I, you know, now I'm back in Atlanta, and I'll be doing the studio this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, while Greg Gumbel does New York on those days. But we'll have Shaka Smart in the studio with us. So that, you know, if we're giving fans what they want to see and what they want to hear, then I think then that's when we're doing our job. It's not about us. It's our thing.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, these are the subtleties I think that the rest of us are not picking up on. So this is very educational, interesting for people to hear. But when you talk about that, again, with it being the CBS crew and everything, it does remind us that although it's been a very cohesive union that you guys have had during the course of this, of course, it is separate entities at the end of the day with CBS and Turner Sports. And I know as a part of this long-term package, certainly you guys are going to be stepping in more and covering more of the key games as years go by, national semifinals and even national championships.
Yeah.
So what's your sense as a Turner Sports employee of what that does for the platform there? That's got to be some of the greatest milestones. For as much as you guys have had the British Open and some pretty big things previously and some of the big things with Major League Baseball, when you guys are getting the key parts of March Madness on there, that's got to be another level altogether.
No, I mean, it's a huge feather in the cap. It really is, and it makes us all proud. I'm not going to lie to you, Rick. When you get something like that, and we've had the NBA for years, but we've never had the finals. You know, when the conference finals roll around, then we're out. We might be there to cover some stuff on NBA TV, but having the actual games on Turner, we don't, even though we've had the NBA for so long. And so to look at this now, and we've done the PGA Championship, and as you mentioned, the British Open, and we're on all those 4 days. But we're not the ones who are on when the Wanamaker Trophy is presented. That's CBS who we work with on that. So for us to be in a position now, as part of this deal, that in a few years, when One Shining Moment is played, that'll be on Turner. Now that's cool, and it's not lost on any of us. We're very proud of that, and we're very proud of the fact that Turner Sports has become a major player over the last 20 years in the world of sports. It's a believe me, it's a good place to be hanging your hat these days.
Entities here, and I'm just curious in terms of that, what else it might lead to, because there was a time last summer, and I thought perhaps I was hallucinating when I first saw this, but I saw Matt Weiner and the studio guys doing a show on CBS for one day. I think it was not long before the playoffs, actually. And so I see signs of more commingling between the networks there. And it really makes sense because CBS is only really starting to grow their own CBS Sports network to that level. So it makes sense to partner up with you guys. Do you get the sense that there are any other big things in the works like this potentially, like March Madness, of working together with them on other projects?
Well, Rick, surprisingly, I'm not privy to very much of that higher level stuff. I'm right down there on the ladder on the trickle down effect.
Okay.
it wasn't like I had inside info that we were going to be part of March Madness. And so, if we have anything huge that's on the horizon, I'm sure I'll hear about it. But I'll hear about it just as the rest of the Turner Sports employees hear about it. So. But believe me, when I hear it, I'll let you know, just like Louisville over Kentucky.
Thank you. Well, you know what? Much like me, you'll probably be reading about it from one of our favorite guests, Michael McCarthy. He'll probably be breaking it in USA Today, and you and I will see it at the same time. Huh, Ernie?
Yeah, exactly.
That's it's been great work that you guys have been doing with the tournament here, much like the stuff with the NBA. And I'd also like to mention here, as we start to bring it around, just like to join the general public in this as well. I know from everything I've heard that there's been a real outpouring in the course of the last 6 months to a year or so, folks chiming in and wishing well to you and your family. And I certainly hope all the best for your family. We certainly do with the FDH Lounge here, that you guys have a blessed time ahead and the best possible health for you and your family in the time ahead, Ernie. God bless.
Well, I appreciate that. It's been the last year was tough. I lost my dad last year during the PGA Championship, and then just as I was getting ready to do baseball's postseason, my 23-year-old son was in the hospital for 7 weeks. He's got muscular dystrophy, and then and then got pneumonia, and he was in real rough shape. And we've seen our way through that. We've got him home, and it's always an adventure, and there's always things that come up. And you're right. There's an outpouring of really good thoughts and a lot of prayers from people that that have really helped us get through difficult times like that. And I think that's one of the things about being in the having the job that I do, and you know, you kind of come into people's living rooms all the time, and even though you haven't met them, they feel like they know you, and they're never hesitant to reach out and tell you to hang in there, and believe me, we appreciate it.
Well, that's wonderful. That's, I'm glad that you've been able to derive some strength from that, and that's great. I saw a quote from you a while back where, I guess you were responding to a question. You said your son is very, very tough and, you know, has bounced back through that. So I was very glad when I saw that at the time, Ernie.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'll give him your best. And we're just, we're fighting our way through a lot of stuff, and but it's all good, and it's great to be, really great to be back into the flow of work and back into the March Madness stuff, and can't wait to get back into it on Thursday night.
Excellent. Well, you know, it's a real circular effect too. I mean, for anybody out there that's having their own hard times, you know, I know this time of year puts a smile on everybody's face to turn on the TV and see March Madness and you guys covering it. So, you know, you're probably bringing joy to some people in some similar circumstances at this point in time, Ernie. And it's just been so great to be able to learn about how the coverage has been going with the tournament, get your thoughts on this here tonight. A real honor and pleasure to speak with you, Ernie. We'd love to do it again sometime. Thank you so much, sir.
No, the pleasure is mine. Thank you very much for having me on, Rick.
I appreciate it. The great Ernie Johnson, everybody. We want to thank you all for tuning in. Mini episode number 100 of the FDH Lounge. Thanks for being a part of this, everybody.